Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by, and welcome to today's CTT First Half 2019 Results Conference Call. At this time, all participants are on a listen-only mode. There'll be a presentation followed by a question and answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you'll need to press star one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Friday the 26th of July, 2019. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Mr. João Bento, CEO. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'll join you through the highlights part of the presentation, then hand over to Gui Pacheco, our CFO. On page four, I'll go through the main highlights, milestones for this half of 2019. On the 15th of March, as you know, we have published the quality indicators for 2018, which exhibited a 40% improvement over the previous year, with the overall quality indicator scoring 155. On March, we had a soft launch for our initiative with our partner, Sonae Dot, which we hope and we aim will be the major marketplace in Portugal, which is now growing at a very interesting pace and will bring news in the next quarter. On the 2nd of May, a major milestone for our bank. Banco CTT has completed acquisition of 321 Crédito, as you know, a specialized consumer credit institution, and the operation is now fully undergoing. I'm going to address that soon. We've paid our dividend in May on the 17th, which represented a cash outflow of 15 million euros. On the end of that month, I've been appointed by the board as the new chief executive for the company. Finally, the first milestone I feel responsible for, by the end of July, 18th of July, more exactly, we have appointed a new and very experienced CEO, a Spanish CEO, for our tour line operation, which is undertaking a full turnaround of the company that we'll disclose also in the next quarter. Moving to slide five, main highlights for this first half. I'll call the attention for, of course, the transformational quarter. The second quarter was for Banco CTT with the full integration of 321 Crédito. I also call your attention to the, I would say, very well advanced in savings placement throughout the quarter. An interesting recovery in mail and in domestic parcels. As a last highlight, I would say a very good quarter on which refers to operating cost behavior. Going line by line, on the addressed mail volumes, as you know, a 9.1% decline, which adjusted by working days represents a 6.1% decline. This is, well, the most interesting part here is that it reveals an improvement over the first quarter. On express and parcels volumes, we now start to see recovery in Portugal with almost 6% of growth. Spain being very much impacted by the full loss, and this was the first quarter where this former main customer disappeared. By the way, if we refer to the remaining customers, the quarter also saw a very interesting growth. Moving again to the bank, as I said, it was, I would say, the most relevant quarter for the life of the bank, given the integration of 321. On what regards savings and insurance placements, a very steady growth. The quarter reached roughly the same level of placements, starting from a higher base in the previous year. In what regards the operational transformation plan, operating cost savings are for the year mostly secured. So a very good quarter. It is in fact the first quarter that for several years exhibited a relevant decline in operating costs, which we feel as being very good news. And finally, in terms of cash position, the quarter was obviously impacted by the closing of the acquisition of 321. Moving in more detail to each of the areas, and starting with mail, just a graphic depiction of what we've referred, a lower decline in mail, which is significantly lower if we adjust for working days, and in which refers parcels, again, we are seeing a consolidated 3.7 growth in Portugal with a significant decline in Spain. But again, if we would exclude the effect of the exiting of the main customer, this would have represented for the full semester a 9% growth, which is a trend that July is confirming. Moving to slide 7. We have seen in terms of financials a very good quarter in terms of of savings, and therefore a very good semester with roughly 50% revenue increase both in the bank and in the savings and insurance placements. Of course, in the bank with a very relevant contribution of 5.1 million of 3-to-1 credit to, but even without that, a steady growth in bank revenues. Regarding savings and insurance, I would probably call the attention to the fact that we feel very positive. As I said, we had quarters around 1 billion placements, 900 million. We are very positive because in the second semester, the majority, roughly 60%, of the maturities will occur now, and we are indeed seeing July as a very good and very strong placement month, which probably allows us to think that something around 4 billion euros for the year remains a good target for savings. Moving to slide 8, word again on costs. As I said, most of the savings of the transformation plan for the year have already been secured. Of those, 9 million are already reflected in our accounts for the first semester. Then we are now in a much more advanced phase of looking in a structured way to optimize our real estate portfolio. And this is something that is going to be developed throughout the second semester, and we hope to bring news again in the second semester for sure, eventually this quarter. And finally, a word on specific items, which are also lower than before, but are mostly justified by negotiating staff exits. That accounts for almost 7 million euros. And M&A costs, mostly in this case, related with the acquisition of 3-to-1 credit. So again, if you would exclude here the inclusion of in the bank, this quarter revealed a 2.6% decline, which we think it's a very relevant development in terms of operating costs. Moving to slide 9. Our strategic priorities remain in line with previous concerns. Of course, in mail, our main concern and energy is devoted to fully implement the operating transformation plan and to exceed the communicated targets, and we are very active on that. We've been looking mostly at the efficiency and operating costs in operations. We are now looking again to central structure and support functions, and therefore a strong commitment to that in terms of mail. We are very focused on achieving incremental savings to be presented this quarter in a more detailed way. There's also a word on being more strict in terms of negotiating staff exit costs, in the sense that we are now testing and measuring and starting to implement what I would call cheaper exit mechanisms, which include, in a relevant scale, I hope, some early retirement schemes that are now possible according to Portuguese labor law. Regarding express and parcels, well, the most relevant strategic update refers to Spain. We've been for a long time looking at M&A opportunities in Spain. We've managed to identify and being active and could decide on some of them. Our view is that there are no M&A opportunities in Spain at a relevant and acceptable price. And therefore, the decision not to go along that line was a very sound decision by the board, and we have decided to take a different look to developing our Spanish operation. The most relevant aspect is that as of the 18th of July last week, we have hired a new CEO with a very relevant track record, Manuel Molins, a former CEO of Correos Express, responsible for its turnaround, former CEO of Seur, responsible for its turnaround, and more than having a new Spanish team that will be fully in place throughout the summer. We have also new ideas about operation efficiency in terms of B2C delivery and in terms of the commercial approach regarding the role of the franchisees. And this plan is now being rolled out. We're going to commit to this plan of turnaround that should last for 18, 24 months, and we're going to monitor it and report to market in a very strict way. And so, in a word, we are very optimistic with the situation, although it is and remains, of course, very challenging. A final word on the bank. Just to say that, of course, we're going to focus on monetizing the existing client base. We are now seeing also some synergistic opportunities with the customer base of 3-to-1 credit, mostly through placement of insurance offers. And of course, we are reaffirming the aim of EBITDA break-even for this year and net profit break-even for the forthcoming year. We have also decided to update our EBITDA guidance for the year, which is now between 100 and 105 million, including obviously the contribution of 3-to-1 Crédito. And we have decided to disclose our updated view on CAPEX, in the sense that we feel we're going to be able to do mostly what we had in mind with a significant reduction, and therefore the guidance is now 45 million, which represents a reduction of 10 million versus initial target. There's also a symbolic measure that I've led of voluntary reductions of board remuneration. The details are in the presentation. A final word on the bank, because it's, I would say, the most relevant milestone for this semester. Not only because it produces a profound change in the uses of the funds that the bank has been able to raise, and that would be the most successful activity and achievement of the bank so far, and also because the combined numbers are now relevant numbers, with more than 500,000 customers, total credit of 800 million. A production of credit for this year around 400 million, and the loan to deposit ratio, which is now very respectable, of 70%. My final comment on this is that the main synergies of the incorporation of 3-to-1 are already executed, namely the funding synergy, and this is not reflected yet in the 2 months of the bank that are in the account in the results. but they will be fully reflected across the whole of the second half of this year, which represents good news for the bank and therefore for CTT. I'll hand the word to Guy Pacheco for the financials.
Thank you. Good morning. So starting on page 12, we see an overview of our financial performance, where in the second quarter we saw improvements in all relevant financial metrics, although it was a difficult quarter in the number of working days, which has a direct impact in our operations of mail and express and parcels. And this quarter that last 2 working days, which obviously affect volumes in these 2 divisions. Our revenues remain flat in the quarter and in the first half due to the good performance of the financial areas, despite a very challenging quarter in terms of mail. If we exclude the effect of 3-to-1 acquisition, our revenues declined 1.4%. OPEX with a very positive performance in the quarter, 1.3% decline, or 2.6% if we exclude 3-to-1 credit, which enabled our EBITDA to grow 8.7% in the quarter or 0.7% in the first half. EBIT also with growth, with lower specific items, the cost with the negotiated staff exits were lower in 6.8 million in the first half. Our net income amounted to 9 million, representing a growth of 21% year-on-year on the first semester. On the next slide, we can see the overview of our revenues. As I already commented, revenues remain flat due to the contribution of Bank CTT and obviously the inclusion of 3-to-1 credit in our perimeter and financial services. Mail was heavily affected by the number of working days, especially in the month of June, where we saw less 3 working days this year. Mail revenues declined 4.3% despite volumes declined 10.3%, partially offset by a strong mix effect that we continue to see from inbound mail and price effect. We are able to increase prices more in non-regulated prices to compensate a lower price increase authorized by ANACOM in the universal service products. Express and parcel growing 5.9% or 1.7 million, fully offset by Spain following the loss of its biggest customer that caused a volume decline in the first half of 8.2%. Although commercially, as João already mentioned, the pipeline in Spain remains strong. So if we exclude the loss of that customer, the remaining of the volumes increased 9.1%. Banco CTT growing 7.8 million or 49.7% with the contribution of 5.1 million of 3-to-1 credit and a solid growth in net interest margin and commissions from the organic part of the bank. Financial services continue to recover with a robust growth in public debt placements, growing 24.1% in the first half or 3 million euros in the same period. In going to our next slide, an overview of OPEX. OPEX remained flat in the first half with the consolidation of 3-to-1 credit that represented a 1.9 million increase on costs with a very positive performance on the second quarter, as we already mentioned. Mail and financial service declined 7.6 million euros in costs, with strong reductions, namely in facilities and staff costs. Express and parcels growing 2.7 million euros, out of which 2.3 million were in the first quarter, mainly to the need of rescaling Spanish operations to the new volume reality that was mainly done throughout the second quarter, and increase in unit prices but in both countries in labor and fuel. Banco CTT costs growing 2.6 million organically due to higher transaction costs, IT and staff. In the next slide, you can see the breakdown of our EBITDA. EBITDA remained flat in first half, growing 8.7% on the second quarter, obviously underpinned by the performance of financial services and Bank CTT that fully offset the decline that we saw in mail and express and parcels. Mail declining 4.4 million, with cost performance offsetting the revenue decline that due to lower volumes affected by the number of working days. Express and parcels declining 2.6 million due to the revenue decline in Spain, and high costs, especially in the first quarter. We improved slightly the performance on the second quarter. Bank CTT growing 3.3 million with a positive contribution of 3.1 credit to financial services, growing 4.1 million with robust revenue growth and cost control. Moving to our balance sheet on page 16. Our balance sheet reflects the incorporation of 3.1 credit and the growth of the bank, that now it stands at 2.3 billion of assets, up from the 1.8 billion that we had in the first quarter. Our healthcare benefits liabilities now stand at 251 million euros, and the corresponding tax credit of 72 million euros, which result in 179 million euros net. After the adoption of IFRS 16, we now also have 90 million of lease liabilities, reducing from the 97 million in the end of 2018. In the next page, our cash and cash flow. After the acquisition of 3.1 credit and dividend payment, our net debt, excluding leases, is now zero, or 90 million if we include the leases after IFRS 16. Our cash flow was very affected by working capital performance, mainly two effects. We are now a net receivable of terminal dues due to our good performance in inbound mail, and the payment terms between postal operators are very long. We increased our receivables in 5.6 million from postal operators. Normally, the settlements are, the main settlements, namely from China, are done in the third quarter, so we expect to receive this money soon next month. And we have also a 5.7 million in receivables from the Portuguese states related with the mobility allowance. That is a service that we provide to the state where we upfront money to subsidize the cost of airplane tickets from the Portuguese islands to the mainland. And this service has a normal uptake during the summer, which explains the higher receivables. These two effects should be recovered until the end of the year, but right now cash flow stands at minus one million. Going to the detailed overview of the business units and starting with mail and in page 19, mail with an improvement of volume trends, but still heavily affected by working days and digitization in the private sector. Transaction mail is where we see the most of the impact, with 6.8 million decline, 3.2%. With a price and mix effect that offsets partially the 9.3% decline in volumes. Advertising mail continues under pressure with two very different trends. Address advertising mail suffering from GDPR mainly, that impacts the size of mailing databases after the request of consent, and all the database in the country reduces somehow in a significant way. And addressed mail, where we are growing based on gaining market share, but unfortunately has lower unit prices than the address mail. That's why we see the revenue of minus 12%. Retail and other with a decline of 18%. Philatelic products justifying 800K of that decline.
and lower retail sales and FX gains explain the rest of the decline. Business solutions continue to grow, especially in new business areas like geographical data sales, and costs remain very much under control, declining 6.6 million, partially offsetting the revenue decline. As such, our EBITDA declined 4.4 million or 9.7%. EBIT, at EBIT level, a better performance because of lower specific items, especially lower cost with staff exits. Moving to Express and Parcels. In Portugal, Express and Parcels growing 4.4% in the second quarter and 3.9% in the first half. If we focus only on parcels, we improve our performance to 8.8% growth in revenues in this quarter, accelerating from the 3% that we saw in first quarter. Unfortunately, Spain declining 11.9% in this quarter, with volumes declining 6.6%, following the already mentioned loss of its biggest customer, and it was the first quarter without any volumes from that customer in particular. In the first half, volumes declined 8.2%, but if we exclude these key accounts, volumes would have increased 9.1%. So in terms of commercial pipeline, things are going well, although it will take some quarters to recover from the previous volumes. We were able to reduce costs and resize Spanish operations this quarter, but not enough to compensate the revenue decline that we saw. And as a result, our EBITDA was negative 0.8 million in the first half, or declining 2.7 million, a similar decline that we see at the EBIT level. Moving to the bank, Banco CTT growing 49.7% in the first half, or 17.4% if we exclude 321 acquisition. We continue to see a very robust operational performance in terms of customer acquisition and credit placement, now reinforced with 321 credit acquisition. As Juan said, we'll now be able to place an equivalent of 400 million of credit in 2019, leveraging on our ability to continue to attract customer funds at a marginal cost. Our customer deposits now stand at 1.064 billion euros, and our transformation ratio with 321 reaching 69.3%. EBITDA of the bank improving to minus 3.3 million. At EBIT level, the EBIT improvement is lower because we had 1.2 million of specific items related with the M&A transaction. Growth in impairments due to the incorporation of 321 credit that has a different risk profile, and the higher D&A. Moving to financial services. Financial services continue to recover, and we continue to see robust public debt placements, although with an expected slowdown in the second quarter, public debt placements grew 37.5% in the second quarter and 55.6% in the first half. In the second half of the year, will mature approximately 60% of the total certificates maturing in 2019, and this will continue to fuel our growth of debt placements. July and August are always strong months due to the inflow of immigrants that normally place their savings here in Portugal. Costs continue under control on this division, with EBITDA reaching 99.4 million euros, growing 4.1 million euros. That is a similar growth that we see at the EBIT level. I now pass you back to João.
Well,
Okay. Well, we're ready for Q&A. It's been a very interesting quarter, which provides a good outlook for the rest of the year. Please bring in your questions.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Now begin the question and answer session. As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Once again, it's star and 1 if you'd like to ask a question. Thank you. Your first question comes to the line of Philippe Leek from Caixa Bank. Please ask your question.
Hi. Hello, everyone. It's Philippe Leek from Caixa Bank. I have a couple of questions, if I might. The first one is related with specific items. You mentioned a 1 million cost in first half related with the measurement system of new quality indicators, which were required by the regulator. Is why are you considering this as a specific or a non-recurrent item? If this is a regulatory decision that will force you probably to have this extra cost in the upcoming quarters or years? And also in the past you mentioned 15 million non-recurrent costs expected for full year. In this first half you already reported close to 12 million. Do you reiterate your expectations for full year or should we expect an higher amount? My second question is related with the salary increase for the workers, because some press today is mentioning an already agreed increase between 1.6 and 0.8, I think, with the retroactive effect at January. Can you confirm it? And my third and last question is related with 3-to-1 Crédito. If you have any idea of the sensitivity of the potential loss in the targeted 400 million loan book in a situation of an economic downturn. I mean, in a situation of tough economic environment, I assume that this type of credit could suffer more than other type of credit. My question is if you have any idea of what could be the expected loss on 3-to-1 credit loan book in a situation of lower economic growth or even in a situation of an economic recession. Thank you.
Okay, I'll take the question on the wages. In fact, I don't know what you've read, but what's been announced internally is that there was no agreement with the unions, and therefore we have decided to put forward a wage increase that goes for the lower wages, that goes from 1.0 to 0.8 maximum, with a minimum of 10 euros per person. And again, this produces an impact which has been negotiated for a long term, but didn't produce an agreement with the unions, and we feel very optimistic that most of our workers will accept this, and therefore those are the facts.
Regarding the specific items question, you're right, this is a cost that we'll have forever or until this decision stands. But what we put in specific item is not a recurrent cost of the measuring system. We have the new technology to be in place, and we need to train a high number of people that do the measuring system. And what we booked as a non-recurrent, it was the setup costs of these new measuring systems. That, as you know, we are challenging it in court because we think the costs associated with the measurement are now very disproportionate in giving the profitability of these business lines. Regarding Peter is answering you on the economic downturn
On 3-2-1 credit facility, I just refer you back to the presentation that we did last year around this time in July with the acquisition of 3-2-1 credit. It outlined basically the risk profile of 3-2-1 credit, and it also presented that risk profile throughout the cycle. If that's not clear, we can take this offline also.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Once again, it's star and one if you'd like to ask a question. Your next question comes to the line of Nuno Estacio from Haitong Bank. Please ask your question.
Hi. Good morning, everyone. The first question would be regarding the restructuring that you are planning now in Spain. Can you indicate us if you have an estimate of if there will be significant upfront payments or investments for this new strategic plan, and are you considering now because the essentially previous management has always said that selling this or was almost out of the question, are you more open to eventually getting rid of this business which has been contributing negatively since the IPO, and if you could give us any additional hints of what you're planning to do there would be helpful. A second point would be in terms of the higher costs related to these additional requirements from the regulator. How much are you? Do you think you are already facing because of this? And are there going to be additional costs because apparently you are going to reopen some stores? What is the potential cost for these additional services and additional presence in the country? A final question, just on the slide 17 of the net cash, you are presenting a net position or a net debt position of 19 million euros, which is essentially the leases liabilities. But this is on an aggregate basis, correct? I would like to know what is the current net debt position of CTT excluding the bank, if you could give us that number. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Nuno. This is João. I'm going to cover Spain. As I mentioned briefly, we've been looking at for a long time for M&A opportunities in Spain. That would require some funding, of course. And we didn't think that would be the right path to proceed. The dynamics of the parcels Spanish parcels market, very much like everywhere, but in Spain very clearly, is that B2C is growing at a much faster pace than B2B, and therefore we decided to challenge the strategic model. Because it was, in fact, the mostly franchise-based model was conceived and deployed for a different scenario. What this new leadership and new ideas we have for what's going to happen is now being fully planned, and we're going to disclose the plan and the targets in the next quarter results presentation. But there are two, strategic streams that I might share right now. One is that since B2C is growing at a much faster pace, we need to be much more efficient in delivery of B2C. And what the most successful operators in Spain are doing is doing that through their own operations. And the other one is that there are now, and we have tested that already in line with some of our franchises, there is scope for a much more effective way of deploying our commercial relation with the franchisees by removing some of the delivery costs and weight they have, and by replacing some of them, or maybe most of them, with a much higher commercial content. So we have ideas for a plan which are very sound. They have been proved successful already with the leadership that we have hired. And may I repeat that Manuel Molins, which is now building a new leadership team that will be in place before the end of this summer, is the person that produced the turnaround of Seur a long time ago. In fact, he was the man that sold Seur to the DPD group, and after that he produced a very impressive turnaround for Correos Express. So we are very positive on that. Coming back to your question, any investment that we need for deploying this plan, and we will disclose that soon, as I said, are of course of an order of magnitude very different than the ones that we would have deployed if we would proceed for an M&A route.
Regarding Anacom costs, what we can share is that our guidance includes all the costs that we plan to have with Anacom. Even this last decision on the new measurement on the cash position. So our net debt, excluding the bank, is around 70 million, 70.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Once again, that's star and one if you'd like to ask a question. Star and one for further questions. Thank you. Thank you. There are no further questions at present. Please continue.
Okay. Thank you all for coming. It's my first results presentation. The next one will be my first results presentation with a full quarter under my leadership. So I look very much forward to that moment. And please stay with us. We are very committed to what's going around, and we count on you for joining us in this route. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.